professor gave a biblical answer back every time to my non-Christian friends' questions. And he didn't understand them, so he just fired another question. Intellectually, so stimulating. But I ran the white flag up after 7 hours of debate. And I turned to my non-Christian friend, I said, I'm sorry, I don't want to do another one of these. He said, why? I said, because I found a subject you know nothing about. You're biblically ignorant. And I can't see any point in having another conversation unless we ask the good professor to come back, and I said this as vague as this, and open the Bible for you. Well, he was so shocked at my rudeness, he agreed. And the third dinner changed my life. Because the good professor, John, brought the book of John with him. He sat down, my non-Christian friend, and he took apart that absolutely unique passage, the first 18 verses of John. I don't know if you realize, I'm sure you do. It is unique. In fact, I know you've preached on John for 3 years. You will know this. It is unique in the whole of the Bible. There's no other summary passage like it. And my friend crumbled at the power, not of John, the evangelist, the professor. He crumbled at the power of the word. Here's how it went. Verse 1, in the beginning was the word. And my non-Christian friend said, you don't seriously believe there was a beginning, do you? Richard Dawkins doesn't believe there's a beginning. You don't seriously think that happened? In the beginning was the word. And then he got to verse 2. Verse 2, he was there in the beginning. And it pulled up my friend. He said, hold it a minute. Do you mean God is not just an amorphous mass? Let's read it again. He was there in the beginning. God the person, not some amorphous mass. And then verse 3, all things were made through him. Well, if you came and you're not, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian here tonight. You've probably, as I said, think that the Bible has got some answers. Well, here's an answer. All things were made through him. The word. And that really stumbled my non-Christian friend. No one had ever shown him that simple statement. All things were made through him. And then we hit verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Well, can I tell you that my non-Christian friend is known as golden tonsils in my business? And golden tonsils fused right in front of me. Metaphorically, his jaw hit the dining room table and it stayed there in stunned silence for the rest of the evening. Why? Because he'd met the Word of God. For the first time in his life, he'd seen the outrageous nature of the claims of Christ. The Word, the light, the answer for life. And it absolutely stunned him into silence. Well, you may well know of another tool, but what that gave birth to was a thing called the Word One-to-One. You see, I rushed back to my minister, like Tim, a great Bible teacher, and I said, look, William, will you please help me learn how to teach the book of John? And as we sat down together, I wrote notes. He said, why are you writing notes? I said, well, William, two reasons. One, if you think I'm going to remember this, you've got another thing coming. And number two, every single meeting I have in the city, I have a contract or there's an agenda or we're looking at something together. So I want one and my friend will need one. And I can't have leader's notes. I just need the gospel with some notes next to it. And that gave birth to these simple booklets, The Word One-to-One, of which there are 11. And they take John's gospel apart. It's not a course. It's the gospel with notes. It's a resource. You may well know of another. I'm not here to sell. I'm here to talk about the Great Commission. I'm here to talk about putting the gospel back where the gospel belongs, into the hands of each and every one of us, to be able to take it out. Tim's absolutely right, and I asked him to say what he said at the start of this evening, before I stood up here. You are living in a culture which is not like many countries that I visit. This is still socially acceptable for you to get out. You can do that with your friends. I can't. I can't. And many, many Christians around the world can't. Biblical ignorance and social views are such that to get that out now can cause a problem. And I hear it's coming to this world, into this country. Somebody stopped me this morning and said, we got stopped in our coffee shop. They said, please don't bring your Bibles to the coffee shop because it's not socially acceptable now to be able to do that. But what's the general attitude of people sitting in churches? Not a church like this where you've been so well taught, but the general attitude in so many churches. Well, evangelism, it's what the ministry team do. I pay them to do that. My job, to get someone to come on a Christianity Explained course, hand them over to the ministry team. It's not my job, apparently, to take the gospel to my friends. No, actually, the truth, most of us don't know how. Some of you, because you're in such a well-taught church, you do know. You know how to take your Bible. You know how to take a gospel booklet, and you know how to take it to your friend. Brilliant. But for so many, they don't know how. What do these booklets do? And then I'm going to forget these booklets and I want to get on with what's happened. What do these booklets do? They reverse what we would do in church. Every single page is colored denim blue because you can be a prince or a prisoner and you feel comfortable in your jeans. And this is being taken to the people who are not thinking about coming to church. They're not thinking about Christ. So therefore, it's a very comfy thing. And what it does, at the end of every single episode, we have the reading that we would normally have in church. So here's the end of episode 1. Here is John 1, 1 to 18. Why is it at the end? It's at the end because the people I'm seeing would have glazed over by line 2 or 3 because they are biblically ignorant. They wouldn't understand it. So all we have done is taken the gospel, often a verse at a time, and raise the questions that that gospel verse raises and given the answers, because we're not in the job. We haven't been given the right to put someone on the spot. If you get someone who comes into your church and who says, look, I'm interested in Christianity, then I expect you to pick up this Bible and to use it. I expect you to ask them questions about what they're thinking. That's the norm. It's what we've always done in churches. Great, don't change. But for the people who are outside of church, whose lives are just not quite right, who don't know anything about Christ and who are not thinking about church, they need help. They need the Word of God. And all this is a socially accessible and acceptable format of the Bible to be able to do that. Well, where is the man in the streets head in all of this? I tell you what the vast majority tell me. They tell me two statements. The first, they don't feel at peace. It may well be life's gone well, and they have discovered all the things which they thought that they wanted. They've tried relationships in some occasions many times. They finally got one that they want to keep, and they've got a great job, but it's not been what they expected. For so many others, their health is rubbish. They've never found their life partner. They are not at peace. Or the second phrase that we hear so much more around the world, and it's come up in spades over the last 3 years, I don't feel secure. The trust in the fidelity of personal relationships has been going in the tank. I don't trust the fidelity of the relationships that I know today. Look at the state of marriage, and you'll see what I mean. I'm worried. I'm worried about my safety as I go home on the train or on the bus or even in the car today. I'm worried about ISIS in the UK. I'm worried about Brexit. In other words, I'm worried that I haven't got the answer to life. That's what they're saying. But in a biblically ignorant age where socially it's not now acceptable in the same way to go to church, they're not thinking about Christ and they're not thinking about going to church. Why do I know this? Because I'm always wrong why someone says yes when they agree to meet me to look at the gospel. I'm always wrong, consistently wrong. Let me give you some stories. That one of them I'm repeating from yesterday. If you were at the conference, I'm sorry, but it bears repeating. One of the brightest men that I've led to Christ in the last 10 years through the gospel took 15 months. And when Martin finally became a Christian, I said to him, "Brother, what brought you to the foot of the cross?" And he said, "Well, it was nothing you said." 15 months I'd spent with him. He said, "Richard, the first six words of John 1 went into my mind like a branding iron on a piece of meat. In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning, he said, he's a very bright guy, he's well read. He thought, all those new atheists, they're idiots. He said to me, "Richard Dawkins, I thought you're an idiot. There was a beginning, in the beginning." And then the next three words, "In the beginning was the Word." And Richard, it was nothing you said. It was the Gospel of John that showed me who the Word was, what he had come to do, how he died on the cross for me, how I was saved by that process. And because he is alive and risen from that cross, he's given me a living relationship with him through the power of his Holy Spirit. It was nothing you said. What a relief. It was nothing I said. It is the Word, and the Word is wonderful. All that we're discussing here tonight is how we get the Word out more. That's all we're doing. It's the Word. It's the Gospel, with a couple of notes to help people in a biblically ignorant age. Let me tell you about another guy, Bob. Bob was 57. He'd reached the top and the pinnacle of his business. He'd had no Christian exposure at all, none. Bob, once he was converted, told me this. He said, "Richard, I look back on 57 years and I can see now a loving father who actually allowed me to experience all the things I went through so that I reached the time when I was open to the Word of God. He saved me. He used everything in my life." Well, that's true. See, it wasn't anything I'd said. It's all about the Lord. It's always been about the Lord. It's always about Jesus. And he builds his church. It's not about us. It's God's ministry. I went to see another man who my knees were knocking when I went to see him. He's a very tough individual. He's been married 3 times. He is an international rally driver. He flies helicopters. And he's fearsome. And I went to see him and I said, "Look, I just want you to know I'm seeing some of the other people that you know in our industry. And I'm offering the chance to have a look at the Bible. I'm looking at one particular book. It's called John. And it will just give you the chance to see a peace that passes all understanding and help you understand eternity." Do you know what this tough man did? He began to cry. Because it turned out, as a child of 5, he'd been abused by a Roman Catholic priest. By the time he got to be a teenager, he actually turned to the bottle to try and relieve the strain in his life. He's been married 3 times because he can't cope with relationships. He's in Alcoholics Anonymous, but they sadly have changed the phrase which was originally generated by the Christian who thought it up, of saying, "Turn to Christ, put your trust in Christ." Now it talks about the higher power. Faith. And he literally held this little book and he said, "You mean that that book is going to bring me a peace that passes all understanding? Please, can we start?" It's the gospel. That's what we're missing. You want clarity? A man I know well, I'd offered many times to do this. He came to see me one Monday. He said, "Richard, I was wrong and you were right." He said, "I was weeding yesterday in my garden." He said, "And I suddenly realized I've lost 2 friends to cancer, 1 friend to a brain aneurysm, and 1 friend to a heart attack all in 1 year. I'm 63 years old, and I haven't got a clue what I believe." And I thought, well, the Bible's probably got answers. I should go and see Richard. I was wrong to tell him I didn't need to look at the gospel. Now, perhaps all this is true for you today. Perhaps you're looking into Christianity, and perhaps actually you realize you've got a God-shaped vacuum in your life. You haven't got a peace that passes all understanding. Well, I've got great news for you. This, the Word of God, has the answer. It's all about Christ. He came and did something staggering for you. He died to take your sin and to cover you with his righteousness so that you can enter heaven. It's called the Great Commission for us to take this to our friends. You know, I was at a church this morning, and one of the elders came up to me at the end. He said, "I'm so sad." He said, "I've just heard an elderly lady walk out of church saying, 'Well, that was very good, but he wasn't talking about me.'" Well, yes, I am, actually. You see, I think every single one of us has got a job to do. Every single one of us has got a position to take the gospel to our friends. And very, very quickly, I want to tell you about some of the people who've been doing that. You see, you tell that to the 93-year-old woman that I know of, who, when she gets carers, she's stuck at home. Every time she gets a carer, she gives them this book and simply says, "Excuse me, dear, please could you read this to me?" She's 93. She's currently got a Buddhist absolutely tied up in wanting to know what the next episode of the gospel is. In Hong Kong, a Hindu woman who actually had been solidly converted because she'd now got the gospel. And her father has now been solidly converted and knows that the endless round of reincarnation has stopped. My time's very short. I could go on and tell you lots of stories, but I want to show you just what do these notes look like so that you see that actually you could use this. You may have another tool. I hope you may have that. But if you haven't, this is just one that happens to work. It's not a silver bullet. There's no such thing. But it's the gospel with some notes. Let's get it up on the screen and I'll show you. Here's the start, when we get all of it. Here's the start to John's overview that we had, those five verses. It says on the left-hand side, John's gospel starts with an overview. There's a lot in this section, so don't be surprised it's going to need some unpacking. Well, you've got it in the books. That's what you can say to your friend when you're having a cup of coffee. Now, they often are actually very surprised that it's not starting in Bethlehem because that's what they thought they would see when they sit down with you. So it says, you might find this a surprising start. No angels, no Bethlehem, no stable, no baby Jesus, no wise men. No, because we're not there. We're actually going to look at more outrageous claims than that. So what I just said, you could say because it's in the books. If we flip the page, you'll see what these pages look like. Here's what is a normal position. Five verses on the left-hand side, quite a lot on one page in this case, because they happen to go together. And then here's the notes, which is actually the skeleton conversation for you to have and to add to as you run through it every verse. I'm going to just do a couple. Look how often the phrase "the word" is used. John stresses twice the word was there in the beginning. Yes, in the beginning was the word, says verse 1. And verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. So that raises the question, what or who is the Word? Well, the Word was with God or was God, that and is God, rather. That's what verse 1 says. And then do you see how verse 2 starts? He was with God in the beginning. So the Word is a person. It's in the books. You can have this conversation. You can have the same impact that I saw the Word have at that dinner. Let's just jump to verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Yes, because by the time we got to verse 4, we've discovered that in an outrageous 65 words, we've discovered that Jesus is the source of life, the answer for life, and we're talking about eternal life. And do you know another book that talks about eternal life? Because I don't. It's all in here. Let me just jump forward. I want to show you one more verse. Verse 12. Tim, would you come back up here, please? He doesn't know I'm going to do this to him. Now, I'd like you all to imagine that the Queen of England sends Tim a letter. Come here, don't be afraid, I'm not going to bite you. The Queen of England sends Tim a letter and she says, this bit you will understand, Tim, you've done nothing to deserve this. But I have decided to adopt you into the royal family. You are now Prince Tim. Prince Tim. Here are the keys to all the royal palaces. Here are the bank accounts. You are now in the British royal family. Please sit down, Prince Tim. Can I show you verse 12? Because it's way bigger than what I just did to Tim. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Well, how big's being a member of the British royal family in relation to that? Let's see what the notes say. Look at the unique and awesome gift for those who accept him. They're adopted into his family. Imagine being adopted into the royal family. God offers something way bigger. You've got the conversation to help you bring the verse alive. The phrase in verse 12, he gave the right, his offer comes with absolute authority. The right for what? To become children of God. You see, if you're not employed here today, or if money's really tight, do you see that actually you're just passing through here because now you're talking about eternity? And for eternity, your Father is the creator of the entire universe. How wonderful that is. It's all in his word. They won't remember what you say. They will remember what the word says. And it changes lives. It changes church lives. It changes prayer life. It is staggering to see what the Lord has done. We do it in our weakness, but what a joy to see the word of God go out. And do you know what every single person has told me that I've done this with in 10 years? You're not going to like it. Here's what every single person has said to me in 10 years. Why has no one ever shown me this before? Isn't that damning of us as Christians? You see, I have to tell you, I look back on what I was like 10 years ago, and my fear is that I was a bit like the man who had invented the cure for cancer. I've been told about the cure, I'd taken the cure, I'd been cured for life, but far too much I'd been keeping it to myself. Whereas the Great Commission will set us on fire because we can take this to our friends. And all this is one part of that in a user-friendly form. It's not a course. It's not anything but the gospel of Christ with some good teaching alongside it to help you understand it. You see, in our culture in London, 5 years ago, we used to put gospels out on the chairs alone. Today, we put the first book of the word one-to-one because people's biblical ignorance is so huge, they actually need the help to be able to read it. They don't remember the notes, they remember the word. It's all about the word. Now, I just want to make sure that you're all really clear on this. You see, if you are here for the first time tonight, and you're looking at this for a first time, may I just say to you, why not take the opportunity of this wonderful church and this wonderful church family? Have a word in the greeting room later with Tim or one of the others in ministry. Say to them, well, look, I'd look at that book he talked about. I'd look at John. Can I have a cup of coffee to be able to do this? Or if you're in business or retired or a mum or actually anyone above the age of a teen or from a teen actually onwards, perhaps you can think of a couple of people that you could take the gospel to. I repeat, if they come in and they are really curious about Christ and it's okay to be doing it, use the Bible. If you don't think they're in that position and they're not thinking about Christ and they're not thinking about church and they certainly wouldn't be open to you questioning them, well, here's simply a tool. One of many, but a tool which simply takes the gospel. In Australia, the Coorong bookshops, which are the biggest chain, they've got like three columns. So if you walk in and you want the full Bible, there's the full Bible. If you walk in and you want the Bible for children, there's the Bible for children. And if you want a book that actually takes one book of the Bible and you want to introduce the gospel to someone, they give you this. It's a gospel with notes. So please do that if this is all new to you. And if you actually are a Christian, well then here's my prayer. In the next 10 days, would you all please pray for two names to go and ask that you could share the gospel with. It will set your faith on fire. Some of you are already doing it. You know exactly what I mean. But for others, that might be something new. So pray for two names that you can take the gospel with. And then by all means, if this is a help, get hold of the notes afterwards and grab it and take it and share it over a cup of coffee. You see, what's happened around the world is that 1 in 5 of the people that you ask will say yes. That's the reality of the statistics. 1 in 5. It won't be anything you say. It's that the Lord has put some kind of seed of irritation into that person's life, preparing them for you to offer them the chance to look at the word. And your job is then to share it. The Lord does the rest. They won't remember what you say. Our Savior is alive. The Spirit is at work, brothers and sisters, and therefore the call to us all is get to work. We have a great website. By all means, have a look at it. There's some terrific support resources for you. It's called theword121.com. There's also a TV series. It starts this Thursday. It's on TBN. Unbelievably, it's on TBN. And it starts at 3 o'clock on Friday. It will take every episode of John's Gospel, and it will simply take you through these notes. It's meant for people who don't know the Lord, but it may be a help to you as you can see how the gospel comes alive with great teaching next door to it. Let me finish by praying, and I pray using the words of John. And just before I do that, let me just refresh the invitation that Tim made. All we're going to be doing later is looking at some of the lessons of one-to-one ministry. It's not about this, it's about one-to-one ministry. What have we learned around the world about how to take the gospel to our friends? So if you find that helpful, please come along and we'll do it maximum half an hour. And then I'm up for being grilled. So if you'd like to grill me, come and see us afterwards with that. Let me pray. In him is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. The light shines and the darkness has not overcome it. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you came to die and rise again for each one of us, and for giving us the gift of your Spirit to conduct your great commission, to take your word to the unique circle of friends that you've given each and every believer. Embolden us, Lord, to do just that. And Lord, if we don't know you yet, then help us not to miss this opportunity to at least look into your world. Help us in our unbelief to see what you have to say for our lives as you express your love for us through your word. Amen. The truth is, we're not all called to be Bible teachers. That's his job. We are all called to be Bible sharers. It's great to be a Bible sharer, because you'll walk out, and unlike what I explained earlier, you drain out during the week. Now, you will actually take in. You see, my week has been transformed. I now see the Lord at work amongst my own circle of friends. I sit in a church like this on a Tuesday lunchtime in two rows of men that weren't there before. I'm doing 21-to-1s. Now, that's a bit extreme, but the average when you start doing one-to-ones is 4. Because once you've seen the Lord work in one of your friends' lives, you wonder, well, I wonder where else the Lord is at work. And you keep asking as you discover the majesty, the wonder of the Word of God and the living Savior with the power of the Holy Spirit so active in today's world. Thank you.
Evangelists are a gift to the church. Do you remember that? Ephesians 4? But it's one of the gifts we talk about the least, is actually appreciating those who are gifted evangelists in the church and learning from them all we can. So I'm excited to pick Richard's brain. I haven't met many Christians that are meeting with 20 different lost people every week to talk with about the gospel. So let's make the most of this opportunity. We understand if you need to go, but after the benediction, let's take 2 minutes. First 3 rows, all right? So we can interact together, and then we'll dive in for just another half hour. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
This is just some lessons from what we've discovered around the world in one-to-one ministry. So it's not particular to these books, but it is particular to taking the gospel to our friends. So I think you got the message. We're all called. Now listen, what do you think your faith will be like if you do start sharing the gospel? Well, for those of you already doing it, you know what it does for your faith. It sets it on fire. What do you think the prayer meeting will be like? You see, instead of the prayer meeting being, well, would you please pray for me? I've got a job interview tomorrow. Or would you please pray for Great Aunt Agatha's rheumatism? It would be, please pray for George. George has said yes. Pray for Mary. I've got to the point where I'm sharing John 3 with Mary. Please pray for me. Your church is so unusual. 1,000 new people that walked through the doors of your church, 1,000. How big will the church be if every single member of the church started to take the gospel to their friends? How big will the church be in a year? That's happening in churches around the world. There's a church in Australia. 5% of the congregation started to use the word one-to-one. They just started to take the gospel to their friends. It doubled. It went to 10% of the church. It's now 25% of the church. How big do you think their church is growing? It's absolutely got on fire because it's not about what they're doing. It's about the fact that God is building their church. It's what it's always been about. It's about explaining Jesus to people who don't know. It's called the gospel, and that's all this is about. So, key question, Richard, how do you go about asking someone? Now, the truth is, I don't know the relationships you've got. You may have been having conversations with people for years. You may have been like I was describing earlier. You've got intellectually interesting conversations on the go. And now you've got the chance to be able to say, well, listen, I've actually got some great notes that have gone global in a very short space of time. They take one book of the Bible that happens to be unique. It starts with an executive summary or a summary, an overview. Would you like to have a cup of coffee with me? Because I'd love to show you those 18 verses. Now, it may well be that what you're able to say in front of that is, haven't you always thought that the Bible has probably, there's a reason it's sold more copies than any other book? Wouldn't you also agree with me, it's probably got some good stuff in it? Now, did you notice I didn't talk about Christ, and I didn't talk about mentioning going to church? I simply did two things which they agree with. They know the Bible sold more copies than any other book in the history of printing, and they would reckon it's probably got answers. It's got some good stuff in it. So I offered the chance to sit down over a cup of coffee and have a look. And I say, very importantly, before they say yes, I say two things. I say, all I'm going to say to you at the end is, did you enjoy that? Would you like to meet again? See, it's not a course. People are not signing up to something, oh my goodness me, I've just dropped myself in it. I'm going to have to go on with this guy forever. No, I'm simply saying, at the end of 18 verses of John 1, did you enjoy that? Would you like to meet again? And the reality is that those questions will stop within about 3 or 4 times that I've met to share the gospel because they find it so fascinating. I repeat, every single person I've shared the gospel with in 10 years has said, why has no one ever shown me this before? So they do want to know out there. We shiver and think, oh no, nobody will want to talk to me about it. They do. 1 in 5 around the world, we've discovered, will say yes. Maybe the first person you ask, maybe the second, who knows? Now, let me give you an insight as to how so many times I've heard these books have ended up being used. You buy a set of these books, and in about 2 or 3 days' time, you go, oh no, why did I do that? I've dropped myself right in it. I suppose I'll pray for someone to do this with. And then finally, you go out and someone says yes. And you go, yes, they've said yes, I'm going to sit down and look at the Bible. Then you go, no, I'm going to have to do it. Well, please remember this. Whatever you use, whether you take your Bible because that's appropriate, or whether you take something like this, you are not alone. You're a Christian. It's not about you. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's about the living Word of God. It's why we sit under the Word every week, faithfully taking in and seeing how it impacts our lives. It will not be about anything you say. So rest assured that you will go out with Christ and the power of His Spirit as you share. So don't be surprised that when you get to the end of your coffee and say, did you enjoy that? Would you like to meet again? They say yes, because they found it fantastic. Richard, why do you use John? Well, it's quite interesting. In the biblically ignorant era that I am living in the biblically ignorant country that I am living in, they have no clue what it says. They expect Bethlehem, the stable, and when it isn't that, because they get the outrageous start of the first 18 verses of John, it hooks them in. Well, I don't know what happens next. It's like a box set where they don't know what's going to happen next. And the Lord seems to be using that. This isn't about some demented Englishman who happens to be able to do 21-to-1s. 50,000 of these books have gone out around the world. In China, the downloads are so great, the government blocked the website. It's all about the Lord building his church using his word. Richard, one thing on the packs, would you just explain how they work? I will do just this. John writes in four sections. So what we did is produce four packs, a section, a pack. So chapters 1 to 4, you get the ones that are yellow. Each pack has two books the same in it. Book ones twice, two book twos, two book threes. Why? Because you need one and your friend needs one. So you've got a ready pack to go to start a one-to-one. I've got one, my friend's got one. When I've done chapters 1 to 4, then I can go and get chapters 5 to 10. Fine, I'll get 11, 17, and then 18 to 21. These are subsidized. We sell these as cheaply as we can. No one is making money in this ministry. It's all about the gospel. And in doing that, can I just say that you will spend far more on the coffee than you will on the books. Now, how many studies, Richard, do you get through each time? Each of our studies we gear to be about 20 to 25 minutes long. Whatever you're doing, I would suggest you do the same. I normally try and get a friend for about 55 minutes to an hour, and I will expect to prep three studies, do two, I may do one. How does that work? It works because my friend may say nothing, and we will canter through three episodes of the book of John. It may well be that actually as the process goes on, they are starting to interact far more, so we might do two. Or it might be I walk in, and this often happens on my third or fourth meeting with someone, I walk in, they say, I've been really looking forward to seeing you, Richard. I've been thinking. And at that point, I need to stop and listen, where are they at? But I've learned, don't let the gospel train leave the gospel tracks for too long. You see, the danger is that we will be off somewhere in the hinterland with where they're thinking. And the answers to their questions are actually in the gospel. So I've learned to allow a conversation to go on for 20, 25 minutes, and then I say, hey, that's been a really interesting conversation. Let's have a look at what the gospel says so that we at least do one episode today. So I prep three, expect to do two, might do one. And we've learned, don't set out too ambitiously with too big a passage to take. Just take a small passage. If they finish that, great, do another one. Got it? Richard, do you suggest they prep by reading ahead? Now, this is a stunner. No. I'll tell you why. Because the danger is, if they read ahead, they come in either with their Bible, if that's what they're doing, or with the books, and they go, well, I've read that. Now what do you do? I've just dismissed it. I've read it. So actually, what they learn very, very quickly is that you bring the Bible passage alive when you go through it with them. And they prefer that. By all means, they keep the book that they are dealing with and they read back over what you've already done, but they don't read ahead. That's your job. You bring the gospel alive to them as you open up the pages of Scripture. Richard, you're doing 20 one-to-ones. Do you teach women? Now, if you were at Resolution yesterday, I'm sorry, I'm going to give the same answer. The answer is very clearly, no, I don't. See, I've been married for 34 years, and I think my very patient wife would have a real problem if she thought I was seeing another woman for at least 20 coffee meetings, because it will be probably at least 20 for 38 episodes for the 21 chapters of John. I'm going to need at least 20 coffees. I think she would find it very, very difficult to believe I was seeing another woman on something so emotional and personal as leading them to Christ. So men, please stick to men. Women, please stick to women. By all means, couples, share with a couple. I had one woman who used to come up a two-hour commute both ways because she joined her husband with me to go through the gospel. They were Roman Catholic in background. They'd not had the word. And when her husband took the book home to start with and she showed it, he showed it to his wife, she turned around and said, you're not doing that on your own, I'm coming. So she did a four-hour commute just to be able to sit down. But men stick to men, women stick to women. Okay, now, you may well say, you do know your Bible backwards. Why do I often say, please don't use your Bible to start with, don't have it out? Well, in my culture, it's such a big issue. to have the Bible out. The danger is in the culture I'm in. Tim, have you got your Bible again? Oh, okay. Whoa, here we go. See, the danger in the society that I'm in, when people absolutely don't know the Bible, I flick open to Isaiah to show them a passage which supports what John is saying, and they go, they don't know who Isaiah is. They don't know if he's a bird or a plane. We've discovered that the biblical ignorance is so huge today, people don't know there's an Old Testament or a New Testament. So actually the danger at the start with someone who is not thinking about Christ, not thinking about going to church, just interested in a book they know has sold more copies than any other and they think has got answers, the danger is they actually see it's brilliant for him that he knows it, but he's just proven to me that I don't. Whereas the booklets have been used seemingly on the basis it's a level playing field. I've got the same as they've got. By all means, please have your Bible in your bag. Because what will happen without fail, if you do go and use this, is that at some stage, they will have started to fall in love with the Word of God. And they've started to see that when you've read the Psalms and Isaiah and Ezekiel, because it's all in the books, then they're starting to realize there's a much bigger Bible than they had any idea. And actually, you may then be able to say, well, of course, actually, what it says in Philippians, would you like me to show you? Okay, and then if you know how, brilliant, get your Bible out and use it. But when somebody is not saying, I'm interested in Christianity, this is a better level playing field than being able to use that. We have found in our society, it may not be true for you here. Now, Richard, how are churches using this? Actually, we're going to leave that because I've done that already yesterday and we're short on time. Richard, do you give the person the book to keep? The answer is yes, very much so. I give them, they build up a slow but sure gospel and they love going back over it and reading it. Do people meet and stop? Well, here are the statistics. I have been at this for 10 years. I do a lot of it. I'm still in business because that's how I get my one-to-ones. If I pulled out of insurance, I wouldn't be in the market to see people that I could get alongside. So I'm still in insurance. But here's the statistics. I've had one person a year for 10 years. So I've only had 10 people who, having done the first 18 verses of John, have not wanted to read more. Most of them are Roman Catholic. And they've said, actually, Richard, that was fascinating. I didn't know that's what the Bible said, but I'm fine because I go to confession. Now, some have then said, not Roman Catholic, have simply said, Richard, that was absolutely staggering. I didn't know that's what the Bible said. One day I must look. But they don't want to look now. Can I also say that a quarter of all the one-to-ones I am doing today are people who said no to me initially, and they came back of their own volition. The importance is I made the offer. The Lord did the rest. He niggled in their lives thinking, you know what, I should take that opportunity up and actually have a look. Now, I've used 20 minutes already. And, oh, sorry, the last of the statistics. In 10 years, I've only had 6 people who've gone beyond the first 18 verses and then stopped. And in every single case, they're like the parable of the sower. The world crowded in on the word, and it just snuffed out for a time. Some of them have come back, but it's snuffed out looking at the gospel for a time. I've learned, don't worry about that. It's not my ministry, it's his ministry. He knows. See, one of my minister sat me down when I was having a tough time with how some of people were saying no. And he said, Richard, do you seriously think that when I die and I turn up at heaven, God is going to go, oh, William, I wasn't expecting you today. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. He's the creator of the universe. Of course he knows when William Taylor is going to snuff it. It won't be a surprise when he turns up in heaven. Well, it's no surprise that the Lord has a knowledge of how and when people are going to come to him. It's his ministry. My job is simply to offer, to keep offering, to be a fool for the Lord in offering the gospel. And 1 in 5 globally come back and say, well, actually, yes, I think I will have that coffee. Now, in the city, in London, this has taken off so much, I'm running 1 in 2. We have dinners now of city businessmen, many of them not yet fully converted, who are bringing their non-Christian friends, saying, you must hear what the Word of God says. It's exactly the ministry we have at St. Helens on a Tuesday, when hundreds of people come in from the busy lives that they live and sit under the Word of God. All we are doing here is introducing the Word of God. It's not about you. It's all about Him, and it's all about His Word. I want more time for questions from you. So you've got a sheet that actually gives some do's and don'ts. Please take that home and read it. Please also look at the website that is mentioned at the bottom of the sheet. There's lots and lots on there as resource support for you with whatever you choose to do in taking the gospel to your friends. So please have a look at the website. But my time's gone. I simply want to ask you now, what do you think? Do you see that you could actually do more of one-to-one than you're doing now? Or have you got a problem with what I've said? I don't want to leave this church with anyone feeling that I have not raised their issue. We had some great feedback yesterday from some of the ministers. They wanted me to go over, Richard, what are you saying about the importance of the pulpit? I'm saying I want to get more people to be under the pulpit so that they can hear the Word of God. This is about people who are not thinking about church. They're not thinking about Christ. Don't change what you do in church. It's brilliant. This is about bringing people onto courses like Christianity Explained. Is it, what do you do here? Christianity Explained. This is how you get people to come on a course. Because by going through the gospel one-on-one, they open their lives up to Christ. Now you've been living church to that person. You've broken down the barrier that in so many societies, apparently less so here, but in so many societies is a huge barrier to get people to come into church. And they are now prepared to actually come in on a course alongside other people and to hear about the Word of God. Right, I'm done. Who's got a question? Please do. I'm British. I love taking. Yes. You say it, and I'll repeat it because of the mic.
How do you introduce this into a company basis on the roof, for example? So I get to see a lot of clients.
Yes.
Getting them to make a meeting then as to discuss this.
Okay. So the question is, I'm a rep. How do you take this into a business environment? Well, often what happens in any environment, it's a people business, isn't it? You get friendly with someone. So they'll say, well, you know, did you watch this new film or whatever? And you're able to say, listen, I've got some great notes that have gone global. They take just one book of the Bible. It's just one book. It's 18 verses at the start of this book, which is absolutely unique. It's an overview. Haven't you always thought to yourself one day you'd have a read of the Bible? Haven't you always thought there's probably some good stuff in it? Well, can I buy you a coffee? Because I'd love to show you these first 18 verses. They may say yes if the Lord's prepared their hearts to say yes. There's no magic formula over what you say, but you've got to say something to get them to actually take up an offer. Does that work? Yes. I'll come to you so I can hear it and repeat it. Oh, we've got a microphone. Brilliant.
Would it work if you were meeting with maybe three or four people at one time?
Very good question. Does it work with three or four people? Yes. The only thing that I am so careful about is twofold. One, men meet with men, unless you're in a long-term partnership, you know, a committed relationship, fine. But men stick with men, women stick to women. But it is being used in groups. If you use it in groups of any description, if you're going through the gospel, whatever you're using, please allow each individual person the chance to see you on their own so that they can ask you questions. Because when have you ever heard of a whole group becoming a Christian at one stage? We all are led individually by the Lord to the Lord. So offer the opportunity of separate meetings over a cup of coffee. You know, how are you finding it? Let's have a cup of coffee and let's have a discussion about how you're doing with this. Take them out on their own so you give them their one-to-one opportunity. Does that help? Anybody else?
In our context, if you're not making money on the books anyway,
yes,
could it not be downloaded free of charge and then you only have the coffee charge?
Brother, it's on the website for free.
Oh, good.
In China, it's not safe to be able to have these books, even though, ironically, they're printed in China. So we have it on the website for free. And the Lord, it was extraordinary. I was asked the other day, would I go to Eastern Turkey? Because so many people in Siberia, in the Ukraine, in Romania, and in Poland have downloaded the notes and have been looking at them either on an iPad or simply in paper form, and they've been converted. And Campus Crusader grouped a lot of them together and actually got a conference going. Could I go? So the answer is, brother, no one is making money out of this. This is subsidized, and we will give this away for free. But, and it's a big but, it's great to have a present to give someone. And the truth is, when I've seen it used on an iPad, people do not go back over stuff on an iPad the way they will if a physical book is reminding them to go back. So our job is to knock these out as cheaply as we possibly can so that as many can go out. I promise you, here's the numbers. I have no secrets with this. The entire royalties from 4 years of ministry are £4,500. Nothing. 50,000 books generated £4,500. And where did that £4,500 go? Back into the ministry. This isn't about a sales pitch. It's about the gospel. It's a tool of the gospel for today because this is applicable in a biblically ignorant age with people who are not thinking about Christ or church. Okay? Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Earlier on, you've mentioned being in China. I just want to understand barriers by different cultures when you engage in them. What kind of barriers have you met with?
Well, the extraordinary thing has been that the gospel knocks down all barriers. So, for example, on one of the problems with a very short amount of time that we've got today, I can't tell you all the stories. But, for example, an Iranian businessman walked into a church entrance and said, I've read the Quran. It's full of rules. Could you show me the Bible? He was solidly converted in 3 months. His brother and his brother's wife have been solidly converted, and now the matriarch of the family is coming. Why? Because of the word of God. The word of God just goes through. That story about the Hindu girl, I deliberately squeezed that in because she found no more endless reincarnation. There is a savior.